I just want to firstly say before we start into this chapter, I forgot to mention it earlier, but you know, we were just celebrating those, remembering these young girls who have given their lives to the Lord. Simon Mbunga in Zambia is someone we support and pray for, and he shared with us during the week that a church plant over there that they've started just had a baptisms of 30 people who have given their life to the Lord. And it's just amazing. It's good to hear these reports. Like, we're playing a small role in that. We're in a suburb in northeast Melbourne, but we are supporting and praying for this guy and this church and this community. And you know, in Africa, there are people giving their life to the Lord. In Canada, there are young people that God is touching and moving in, and we want to see that here in Monty as well. So we want to just, I know Simon tunes in actually a bit, he listens to our services, and so mate, we're encouraged to hear your news, and God, may God keep blessing you. Let's just commit our time to God. Father, we come to you at this time with great expectation, because your word is not just a history book, but it is alive. And it is useful for teaching, for instruction. And God, we ask that you would transform our hearts and our lives with it this morning. Amen. So far, we've come to Joshua 6, and it's been preparation. Hundreds of years in the making. God's promise to his people of this promised land. And now it's coming to fruition. It's been preparation and preparation. And Moses and that generation of Israelites have passed away in the wilderness. That 40 years has now gone. And here the whole nation make it across the Jordan River and into Canaan, the land that God has promised. God has miraculously parted the waters, as we heard about last week, and they made a stone monument to remember what God has done for them. All the young men have been circumcised, and there was an appropriate time of worship and of remembrance around the Passover. And now it's time to move in. And at the end of chapter 5, Joshua has been speaking with the Lord Jesus. It says that he appears as a soldier with a sword drawn. And Joshua doesn't even recognise that this is Jesus, this is God. And claim, you know, ask the question, who are you? Are you with us or are you against us? He says, I'm the commander of the army, of God's army. And his response is probably a response that I need to have more often, and that is face down in reverence to God. And the Lord Jesus starts to outline in chapter 6 this plan for Joshua and Israel to follow as they take over the city of Jericho. Jericho, in verse 1, you see it ready for battle. This little city was ready for the battle. Around 2,000 people lived in this little city. And they were facing a nation around this time, around 1 million people, including women and children. And ready for battle for Jericho means that they were shutting up shop. They've been contemplating this for like 40 years. Yeah, their hearts have been melting with fear. And here they want to do what they always do, and that is to bring in their supplies, bring in the people from the farms around, bring in the sheep and bring in all the cattle, and they shut up shop. Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. They weren't big, around 7 to 8 acres of land. We're told that it's about 1 kilometre to walk around the walls of Jericho. They had walls that were 25 to 30 feet tall, and they're about 6 feet thick. It's about as thick as me in height. Not thick up here. They're thick walls. They weren't big, but they were a fortress of a city. And this was their way of surviving. Bring everything in, defend, lock up, and that's your defence. You know, like probably throwing rocks and stuff down the side of the walls if they try to climb the walls. Outlast, you know, make it a survival of the fittest. Wait for the enemy to get hungry and move on to somewhere else. And while we'll see this morning that Israel placed their faith and their trust in God, Jericho very much placed their faith and their trust in their buildings and their walls as their security. And this plan that the Lord gives Joshua, it seems a little outrageous. It's not a battle plan that you would be used to hearing if you're going to take over a city. 6 days of walking once around this little city, and on the seventh day walk around seven times, and no one can say anything in those days, just the priests blowing a trumpet. And it's just a number of people, it's not the whole nation walking around. But in this victory, I want to highlight this morning the people of Israel's attitude and their behaviour towards God's plan. You know, because ultimately we are in a similar position. God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. You know, whether you are, Monty is your home, or whether you are from Singapore, like Declan's friends here this morning, great to have you. Nancy from the Philippines. Jesse going back to Canada. We're hearing about Simon in Africa. God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. But how will we respond? What is our attitude to God's calling? To God's plan. You know, it's not always the case with the Israelites, but in this circumstance it is that I pray and hope our attitude and our response is the same as what we see here with Joshua and the people of Israel. Because the victory over Jericho was marked by faith, it was marked by obedience, courage, perseverance and trust. So I just want to briefly touch on these things through this chapter 6. It was firstly victory marked by faith. In verse 2, the Lord says to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands." Nothing's happened yet. But Jesus, the Lord says to Joshua in the past tense, "I have delivered." There's an old song. Joshua fought the battle at Jericho, Jericho. Now, I said I'd never sing up here again and embarrass my kids, but they're out at youth study, so, you know, it's okay. They wouldn't even know about it. Don't tell them. But, you know, I'm not sure the songwriter read Joshua 6. Like, Joshua didn't fight anyone. This is God's plan delivered in God's strength. And Joshua and the Israelites placed their faith in God and his plan. They didn't seek to add anything, and they also didn't look to take anything away. They exactly what was laid out before them. As weird as it might have sounded, and as odd and strange and different as it was. Is our life marked by that sort of faith? Because faith is more than just a decision to accept Jesus as our Saviour and be forgiven of our sins. That's an important decision to make. That's a wonderful decision to make, and it is a decision by faith to receive Jesus as our Saviour. But Romans 1 says that we are not just saved by faith, but we are called to live by faith. That is, victory in Jesus Christ is living by faith. It is surrendering to and allowing the Holy Spirit to change and transform the way that we think and the way that we live. It's to make conscious decisions moment by moment and day by day to say to God, I don't want it to be about my agendas, about what I want. I want you to dominate my mind and my thoughts and my actions. I want to live for you today. I want to treat people as Jesus did. I want to be known in my community, in my spaces, in my family, in my friends, as a person of faith. Marked by faith. This victory was also marked by obedience. See, I would have thought wouldn't it be easier just to obey God if the plan was to pull out a sword, all storm across the Jordan, run towards the wall, push it with all your might, and then God helps you a bit and it all collapses over. What an incredible story that would have been. But they were remarkably obedient to God's plan. They didn't waver one bit. Every detail was followed. And Joshua was clear about, don't shout anything. Don't say anything until I tell you to shout. Because this is God's plan. I think obedience to God can often involve us doing things very differently than what those around us expect us to do. Obedience to God can also see us doing things differently than what we expect of ourselves. Jesus says in Matthew 5, you are blessed when people insult you. You are blessed when people persecute you and make evil, false allegations against you because you belong to the kingdom of God. What will our response be in those circumstances? Jesus says, be different. Don't respond in the way that most people will expect you to in those circumstances. Be different. Act differently. Because he goes on to say, rejoice and be glad in this. Wow. Obedience for Rahab was putting her life on the line. We looked at her story in chapter 2 a few weeks ago. She put her life on the line. That was what obedience looked like for her. Most around her, I imagine, would have said, give up the Israelite spies. Hey, you're a Canaanite woman. You live in Jericho. Be loyal to the people around you. But she acted differently. Obedience meant being different to those voices around us in her community. She acted differently because a conviction in her heart told her something about who God is. She knew what God had done and she believed in what God was doing. He was giving the land to his people. What does obedience to God look like then in our everyday life? I think probably something we could talk about for a long time, but really simply, I think at a basic level, it is saying yes and no to the things that we know we should do and say and no to the things that we shouldn't do. At a basic level, this is obedience, making conscious decisions to say yes and no. We do that because of the convictions of the Holy Spirit on our heart. That we know what God would have us do. We will know that that is not the place I should be going, or they're not the words I should be saying. Because as a believer, the Holy Spirit lives within us and convicts us and challenges us. But do we obey those convictions? Do we hear them? Do we follow up on them? Rahab did. She had the convictions. She chose obedience. Joshua and the Israelites, they had the convictions. They were told by the Lord what to do. Really different. What about our convictions? What does it cost us to be obedient? Philippians 2, we read earlier in the service, Jesus was obedient. Jesus was obedient to death on a cross. So will we be obedient, especially when it's going to cost us something? When we need to be different, we need a different response to those voices around us. Their victory was also marked by courage. I am just imagining what that first day looked like. I love the sort of those movies and that go back into medieval times, you know, and sort of maybe thinking it like that. There's probably people up around the tops of the walls, maybe not walking around the tops, but at least peering over, you know, seeing what's going on, that there's these few Israelites and the priests with their trumpets, and they're just walking around. There's only a few thousand of us. There's a million of them, but there's only a few of them just walking around. In fact, I think they were sitting ducks. They would have been prone to spears or rocks being thrown over the edge. Numbers 26 gives us an indication of the second census. You know, that there would have been around 600,000 men. And so at least probably around a million people in this nation. There's such a vast number difference. I feel like it was courageous not to just go with brute force. When you've got the outnumber, that's daunting for the people. But they stick to this unusual battle plan given by the Lord. And in a very similar point to obedience, courage goes hand in hand with that obedience, because they're acting differently to what the world around them is telling, what their gut's probably telling them is normal and acceptable. And it takes courage to be different. It takes courage to live and stand up according to the convictions of your heart. And I think this is what courage is. It's for us, it's to forgive in circumstances that friends and people around us might say, no, seek revenge. You have every right to seek revenge in that circumstance. I think it takes courage to sit with an enemy. It takes courage to forgive someone who has hurt you. It takes courage to hold your tongue instead of saying something about someone. It takes courage for us to share our biblical Holy Spirit convictions on social issues that are considered normal behaviour in our culture. It's courageous to live as Jesus lived. Their victory was marked by courage. It's our life, as we reflect on our own life, marked by courage. Fourthly, the victory was marked by perseverance. They persevered. As I said, there's a bit of drama and build up to this. You know, this is a long time coming for these people. This generation has grown up in the wilderness. Oh, they've seen their parents and grandparents pass away. And they've heard all about what God has done. And they would have been told about what God has promised and what he's doing. Years and years and years and years. And here comes the moment. Brought across the Jordan River. This city is melting with fear. The time finally comes for this huge nation to rock up to Jericho. And for about 20 or 30 minutes, a few of them walk around the city on day one. I just imagine there would have been a sigh of relief in Canaan, in Jericho. Like a sigh of relief, like, oh, they've come all this way after all this time. Our hearts have been melted. My parents have been telling me about how scared they were 40 years ago. Here they are, and they just walked around and blew it. The priests were blowing the trumpet. Oh, I think we're going to be okay. Well, that was the people in Jericho. There was no rumblings in the ground. There were no precursors to what was going to come. They just walked around. They just did what they were told to do. But the Israelites kept at it. We know they weren't always that faithful, that obedient, that persevering, just like we are not always. There have been times where they have been told what to do and they might do it for a day, then they give up. They don't persevere. But we know what that's like, don't we? But in this circumstance, they kept at it. 6 days, one lap, no shouting, no taunting the people, just one lap. And then the seven laps on the seventh day, because God said so. It's God's plan. They persevered through it. What do we have to persevere through? Well, there might be certain things that just jump into your mind. Circumstances in your life that you know right now you're dealing with that you recognise, I've got to persevere through this. You know, I think we can admit that around the world, people are in far worse positions than us. Regards to wealth, regards to quality of life, regards to freedom to open God's word, to meet together like this. But we all have a mandate from Hebrews 10:36 to persevere through this life. No matter what the circumstances are, persevere through this life. Live according to the will of God. That is God's promises. That is his plans and purposes for us, which we find in Scripture. Live according to that, because Jesus is coming again. And what is to come, persevere here, because what is to come is for eternity. So the ever-changing circumstances of this life, the opinions of others, the voices around us, the insults, the gossips, the put-downs, the neglect and being rejected socially, the discrimination, the abuse, whatever the circumstances, pray constantly. Seek God's strength. Seek his wisdom and guidance. Seek his wisdom and his peace, so that we may persevere through all circumstances because of what is to come. This life is temporary. Living each day by faith in what God has promised you. Matthew 5, seek first the values of the kingdom. Make that the priority of your life. Because victory in Jesus, as a follower of Jesus, victory is a life marked by perseverance. And it was notable in the obedience of the people of Israel as they had victory at Jericho. The last one I just want to mention is victory marked by trust. They trusted God. Their confidence in God, in what would happen, was based on their understanding of who God is and what he has done. So I think that's the little sort of tweak of faith and trust. I think they're very similar. But faith is very much based on what we do not know and do not see, and we place our faith. But trust is something that is earned. It comes through experience or an awareness and knowledge. That's why I think we talk about trust is not just, it is earned, you know, in a relationship. Because you need to experience something with someone in order to trust them. Now, you might first meet someone and have some faith that they're going to look after you, but experience brings about trust. And they knew about what God has done for hundreds of years earlier to Abraham and the promises, and they trusted in their God who had led the generation before them from Egypt in captivity over the Red Sea, through the Red Sea. And they saw what God had done for them in the Jordan River and led the whole nation across towards Jericho. And so they trusted God in victory, that it's God's plan and it's his strength and it's his might and power. They trusted because of their experience with their God. We have every reason to trust God because of who he is, because what he has done and what he has promised to us. And that's why we need to be in God's word. You see, if we never come to the word of God, if we never soak in it in and meditate on it, we will have much trouble trusting God in the circumstances of everyday life. Because we don't really know God. We don't know who he is. We don't know what he's promised. How are you going to trust a God that we never spend time with? When I was baptized as a young lad at Emmanuel Baptist Church in Adelaide, I came out, we used to meet in a local high school, and they had a swimming pool, an outdoor pool, and the song that was played for every person that was baptised was Trust and Obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The verse says, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, trust and obey. It wasn't just the Israelites trusting, it was Rahab and her family in her house with the cord hanging out. They were trusting. They were trusting in the God of Israel. And it's a wonderful picture of salvation that takes place. This city of Jericho was evil. They were an evil city. They knew about God. They knew some of the things that God had done for Israel, but instead of worshipping the Creator, they worshipped created things. Rahab knew about the God of Israel, but she, and the city knew about the God of Israel, but she was the only one with that knowledge and awareness and experience to trust in who God is and what God was going to do. And so her dwelling place remains, while everyone else was slaughtered and killed, and the whole city burned up. She remained, her household remained. For those who belong to God through faith in Jesus, we have victory. Victory over the power of sin and death. Because the best is not in this life. The best is yet to come. Being saved into a relationship with God is the most incredible thing we can experience in this life. Being transformed and changed by the Holy Spirit when we come to the Word of God on a Sunday, when we each and every day spend time in prayer and in His Word with Him and allow the Spirit to change the way we think and live and treat people and love people. Incredible. But it's temporary. It's a taste of what is to come. And what is to come is eternity. We worship and we've been created by and saved by an eternal God. 1 Corinthians 15 says, in the twinkling of an eye, this is what's to come. The trumpet shall sound, the dead will be raised and be imperishable. We will change from mortal to immortal. So we live now in this life with certainty of victory in Jesus. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. How will you respond this morning to the victory? We don't, like I said, we don't get to say it all the time of the Israelites to follow their example, but it's very much so is an example to us this morning. Victory that they had was a victory marked by faith, obedience, courage, perseverance and trust. And I pray that that will be a life for us that is marked by faith, obedience, courage, perseverance and trust in our God. Father, we do thank you for your word, that it is powerful. It is powerful to save us and it is powerful to transform us. As the truth of your word seeps into our hearts and our minds, we ask that you would use it to do that, transform and change our lives. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for joining us online. Thank you for being here this morning. Please, we still a long weekend, but of course we still have our time of morning tea and catch up and say hello to Jessie before she heads back in a few days and catch up with some new people that are here. It's great to have you. God bless you. Thanks.